In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is the second Sunday of the Great Fast, that's commonly known as the Sunday of the Temptation. And the Church, in order to prepare us for this journey throughout this great season, season of repentance, telling us that no one would start working with God and he is not going to be tempted. Satan goes after those people who want God. Those people who are already in their hand, in his hand, he doesn't do much effort. They are already there. He doesn't have to do anything for them. They just stumble by themselves. They go and search for pits to fall into. But those people who are trying, who in their heart they want to follow, then they will be tempted. And in the temptation with the Lord Christ, we see a famous triad by Satan, something very common. He has a pattern, it's repeated. Yes, he might change how it looks, but at the end of the day, they are the same. I was very surprised last week when I heard that there was a paper came from the Vatican about new sins. There is no new sins. Sins are the same. Satan tempt the people in the same way. Yes, with the new technology, the new age, things have a new shape, but at the end of the day, sin is the same. Satan is the same. In this triad, we notice the following. The first temptation was, I am your friend. If you are hungry, if you are the Son of God, why don't you change the stone and make it as bread? What is wrong about that? Nothing. Here you see Satan as a caring friend, someone who really pity the one who is fasting. This is something very much we notice that as a pattern. Satan usually comes in the beginning as a friend. It's exactly like the credit card that comes to you in the mail and says to you, it's 0% for 10 years and all of this, you are pre-approved and congratulations. And then after this, he gets you trapped and you keep on paying your debts for the rest of your life. This is usually the beginning. I am your friend. When someone is tempting someone, usually sin doesn't come with its ugly face at the beginning. It comes disguised. It looks good. Sin in the beginning looks friendly. And those people who might corrupt us might look like they are our best friend. A boy and girl come and say, this is my best friend. He doesn't harm me by any way or mean. But at the end of the day, this best friend might be one of those people who they are working with Satan in order to catch the children of God. The first thing is the introduction, I am your friend. And then the second point is the catch. When he asked the Lord Christ and said to him, if you are the Son of God, let us go ahead and change the stone, make it into bread. And he was testing and probing, which kind of man is this? Is he a man after his desires? He would be weakened when he is in need, when he is hungry. The Lord answered him and said, it is written that man shall not live with only with bread, but with the word of God. So the catch was, yes, you are one of those people who use the scripture. Let me catch you from here. In the second temptation, Satan used the scripture. He said to him, it is written then, if this is your battlefield, if you are those one of those people who wants to refer to the word of God, let me use it with you. I will also use the scripture to catch you with it. Every one of us has his own weaknesses. And Satan is very smart in probing each one and see where is your falling, where is your weak point, where can I come to you from? So in the second one is the catch. Each one of us knows very well where is his weak point. Be careful from this. This is where Satan is going to come to you from. The third point, the third temptation, was revealing his ugly face. If you worship me, in every attempt for him to befriend us, at the end of the day, his aim is this, you worship me. He wants to enslave the children of God. He wants to make us his breed. He wants to have us in his hand. One way or another, it should end up into the same one, you worship me. Be careful, this triad is so much repeated. It happens all the time. An introduction that is very innocent, Then where is your weak point? I will come to you from it. And the third one is the goal. You worship me. You become something in my hand. You cannot go away. Look here, as we said, in the catch, Satan used the scripture. He said to him, yes, if you are a religious man, you want to use the scripture, let me tell you something. It is written that if you throw yourself from this mountain, it is written that the angels of God will carry you and take care of you. Why not you do it? And then you will be glorified by all men. Everyone will see you as a holy man who is coming with a miracle. Satan can use the scripture. Be careful, false prophets, they do not come only with their own books, but they can use the same Bible that we find salvation in it. They can use it and twist it. How Satan can use the scripture? He twists its meaning or its interpretation. All of these sects and cults and denominations around us, everyone claim that, I know the truth, let me come and interpret the Bible for you the right way. It cannot be true that one says, this is the bread, this bread becomes a body and this wine becomes a blood, and someone else says no, and both of us will become right. Who did this? Who made the church to be confused in the Bible? It is Satan and those people who heeded him when he twisted the scripture and it changed its meaning in order to serve his objective, to get the people of God away from the scripture. He also uses the words not in their intended place. You know, when someone come and say that, what's wrong about being free? God created us in his image to be free. And he uses from the scripture what says that God, yes, made us to be free. But he is using the verse not in its intended place. He uses it in a twisted way in order to come with a meaning that is not right. A famous verse that the people usually use to read it different. When St. Paul instructed Timothy to use little wine for his stomach pains and his sicknesses, this verse became a famous one used by the people who want to adopt drinking and being drunk as it's okay that we use wine in whatever intended purpose. And they say, the scripture says it is good. Look here how the people use a verse out of its intended place in order to justify a sin. The people call a relationship between a boy and girl outside marriage, they call it as love, which has another name in the Bible. They call homosexuality as this is someone God created him so. So what is his fault? God loves everyone. God pity the sinners. But look here, they get the meaning, they reverse it, and they twist the meaning in order to use a verse in a way that justify their perversion. Satan also convinces those who listen to him to use the scriptures only to judge others or to boast about knowing them. A third way that Satan used the scripture with, for those people who truly understand the scripture and who truly knows the word of God, in order to not to look at themselves and use the word of God to correct their own lives, but to use it to judge others. Yes, those people are sinners, those people are going to go to hell, this man should not take communion, this man should not be standing as a deacon, this so and so. From the word of God, I can prove it to you. But this is not how it was intended. God gave us the word of God in order for us to examine ourselves before anyone else. So look here, be careful. Not everyone who had the Bible in his hand should be called as a teacher, should be called as a man who truly preached the word of God. Satan himself can use the scripture to catch those people who with a simple heart do not know how to understand the scripture. The last point is, how should we approach the word of God then? We have to be very careful in how we approach the word of God, lest we might be in a way tempted with it. We might not actually benefit from it. The first point, we should approach the word of God with humility. The humility that says that I do not understand what does the church says to interpret this verse. The problem of the false teachers and all the heretics is in their mind, they understand everything, they do not need any reference. And this is the point of debate between the Orthodox Church and all of the denominations outside the Orthodoxy. From where did you get this interpretation? What is your reference? Why not you come in humility and see what did the church, the first church, says about it? A very nice verse written in the book of the Song of Solomon. The Lord was instructing the bride, saying to her, the bride is his church or any soul that seeks after God. If you do not know, O fairest among women, follow in the footsteps of the flock and feed your little goats beside the shepherd's tents. And this is meant what? It's meant that if you do not know, follow those people who came before you. Follow those people who knew the way before. We should approach the word of God with humility, not with arrogance, that we think that we are the only people who receive the word of God. We have the right to interpret it the way we like. We will surely come into a different meaning and will be tempted by Satan. We also should approach the word of God with diligence to know it. Diligence to know the word of God. Heed here, St. John, the Lord says in the Gospel of St. John, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures. Again, we hear David in the Psalm says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do I feel like the word of God is sweet to me? Do I am eager to know it? Or just I feel indifferent towards the word of God? It is okay. If I know, it's fine. If I don't know, I feel content in whom I am. If we live with this simplicity, we will be very easily a prey to Satan. He will easily deceive those people who does not know, who do not know the word of God. We should also approach the word of God with eagerness to understand it. Not only to know it and just to repeat verses without knowing what does it mean, but we should also try to understand it. Here, St. Luke speaks about the Lord Christ saying about him, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. There is a difference between knowing the scripture and understanding. This needs God's work in order for us to be able to understand. This is something that really troubles me when I think about it. That do we really understand the scripture in the right way? Do we really care? If I have a book of chemistry and I don't understand it, do I feel it's okay that I go to the exam without knowing what is intended in it? Or we feel troubled and there is no way the year will come to an end before I understand this book. Why we do not feel the same? I feel troubled that I do not understand the word of God and maybe my life will come to an end. I will have a test in the book. God is not going to test me verse by verse. He's not going to tell me what is written in Psalm 118, verse 8. It's not going to be like this. But of course, when we know it, we understand it, we live with it. If we do not do so, then the Lord said in the Old Testament, my people perished because of the lack of knowledge. The fourth point, we should approach the word of God with reverence and fear. When we read the Bible, usually this whole church, everybody's standing and all the light in the church is lit in order to say to everyone that we should approach it with reverence and fear. This is the word of God. When Ezra, in the Old Testament, read the scriptures before the people, then we read that, then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel assembled to me. Who are the people who followed Ezra? Those people who trembled when they heard it. They consider the word of God seriously. Do we feel it is serious to know that this is wrong and this is right? Or sometimes we feel like it's okay. I can read the Bible while I am maybe lying on bed, like as if I am reading a magazine. Maybe I will maybe use the Bible as a joke or something like that. People sometimes use the verses in order to make a funny gesture. This should not be the way in how we approach the scripture. Also, we should read and approach the word of God with the spirit of submission. People sometimes look the Bible from above down, meaning let me examine it and select from it what is good. And we find now people who are expert in Bible criticism, and they do not know anything about the Bible. They know how to pick on the Bible and say, this is wrong, this doesn't match. But when it comes to the Bible itself, nobody knows anything. People now, they have the luxury of looking at the Bible and say, I can follow this, this is outdated. This is not something to be lived in our current age. If we do this to the Bible, to the Word of God, how then we can really follow God who wrote these words? St. Paul instructs the Corinthians, saying to them, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Every thought to be brought into captivity, submission, arguments is now the theme of our style in approaching the scripture. Argument. We argue the fairness of God and His justice. We argue if God exists. What does it mean then? As if like we read the Bible in order to prove that it is not right. How can you learn it from a book this way? If you consider this is the Word of God, then this Word should be in your mind, in your faith, unblemished. No mistakes in it. I submit to it with all of my heart. How can we do this while we argue about it? No, Abuna, this doesn't work this way. What do you mean? All of these ways to approach the Bible is the right way, the right approach in order for us to learn from the Bible. As we said, the Bible is also, the Word of God is also a tool still used by Satan, unfortunately. Let us review these while we are now in the Sunday of Temptation. How we should approach the Word of God, benefit from it, not to become for us a net in order to fall in it. We should approach the Word of God with humility, with diligence to know it, with eagerness to understand it, with reverence and fear, and with the spirit of submission. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.